Tessai Shvat, Thursday the 5th of February, Rabbi Sholem Sigal, Mechikas Hashem on the latest gadgets.
Good morning. This week's Sedra, Parshas Yisroel. And in Parshas Yisroel, it's actually written Lo Tirtzach. In Parshas Bo Eschanan, it's written Lo Tirtzach. One with a patach, and the second with a comment. The Vilna Gaon used to explain, he says, the Gemara says in Soita, Chafes, it says, Rabim Chavonim Hipila, Zer Talmud Chochom Shere Higiyad Ahira Umayra. You've got a Talmud Chochom who hasn't reached the stage where he's qualified to paskin, and he paskins, he's killing people. And then you've got Va'atzumim Kol Arugel, the Pasuk continues, Va'atzumim Kol Arugel, mighty are all those who he has killed, Zen Talmud Chochom Shigiyah Behiro, Ve'in Omeira. That refers to a Talmud Chochom who is qualified to paskin and withholds and hold back from doing so. He's also killing all the people who could have done with his Pesachim. Says the Vilna Gaon, that's the two things you've got here. Loisir Tzach, with a patah. Sometimes people kill by opening their mouth. They paskin when they're not qualified to do so. Lo tirtzach, they don't open your mouth when not qualified to do so. On the other hand, lo tirtzach with the comets. Comets means to close your mouth. Means to close. Lo tirtzach, don't kill people by not paskinning, by keeping your mouth closed when you are qualified to do so. Presumably the difference is the 40 years in between the first Parshas Yitzro, which was when they received Aseret HaDibros, and the second time when a person, Ben Arboim Lavino, he's reached the stage when he's qualified to paskin, then the Torah instructs, Lo Tirtzach, don't keep quiet. Don't keep your mouth closed. With this in mind, I'm definitely holding Parshas Yitzro, I'm definitely not Ben Arboim in any sense of the word, and it's with a definite sense of fear and trepidation to deal with the Shaila, the severity of Mechikas Hashem. I'm definitely not qualified to do so. And although I'm going to open my mouth and offer you some thoughts on the subject today, please do not take it in any way as a final pesach, because I'm most definitely not qualified to do so. A number of years ago, I was giving a short share on the subject, Hilchos Shabbos, of video cameras. Video cameras on Shabbos, whether there's an issue of kosev or not. And sort of kilach yad, they threw in, just mentioned the idea of how it connects to the subject of Mechikas Hashem. We know the Torah says, Ve'ibadtem Hashemom, you should get rid of the Parshas Re'eh, it says, Ve'ibadtem Hashemom, to get rid of the name, to obliterate any mention of Avodah Zorah. Yet when it comes to Hashem your God, there's an Issa Deraita to be Mechik as Hashem, to rub out the name of Hashem. So the Shaila is, if a person's got the Shem Hashem on a screen, on a computer screen, and a person turns off the screen or he goes from one thing to the next, from one window to another, is that a problem of Mechikas Hashem? And there is quite an, to me, was the strongest reason why it shouldn't be a problem, is because it's what we call a Maisa Shalili. What that means to say is, the way a computer screen works, a standard computer screen, is it's renewing itself roughly 25 times a second. That means there's a continuous renewal process. It's shooting electrons at the screen, which are being dragged across by sort of magnetic fields there. So the kids, when you press the button to turn off the screen, you're not rubbing what's off. You're not rubbing off anything on the screen. What you're doing is you are simply withholding the next picture which will appear on the screen. That's called a Maisa Shalili. You're not actually doing any act of Mechika. That, to me, was the strongest heta. But the Maisa, there is another heta. I mean, there's perhaps more than one other heta, but, and that is what Shlomo Zalman says, that when you've got something like a computer screen, which is really effectively, yes, we know it's electrons, but the Maisa is just light. It's light being shone at the screen. It says it's difficult to say that that's considered any form of kosev, and that turning off the lights is going to be considered Mechikas Hashem. He says, imagine if you create, using lights, you were to create shadows, and the shadows were to form the shapes of the Shem Havayah. So you're going to tell me when I switch off the lamp, switch off one of the lamps, so I now break that Shem Havayah. You're going to tell me that's Mechikas Hashem. He says, it's very difficult to say such a thing. At the end of the shiur, afterwards, somebody came over and said, so how does that affect e-readers? At the time, this was infancy, e-readers. I looked at him and said, what's an e-reader? He didn't know too much about it himself, but the way he understood it was slightly misunderstood, was that it fires some sort of particle at the screen, and this particle then sort of stays on the screen, indefinitely. Now, he's correct and he's not correct, but the point being that if there's something on the screen, it's not a Maaser Shlili, it's not just light, there's something there which is a Baal Kayoma, right, it's going to stay there. So, is this a problem then to turn it off, to turn from one page to the next? So I said to him at the time, I don't know what these things are, and then I more or less forgot about it. More recently, a few months ago, I was looking into, there's a machine I saw in one of these catalogues advertising Sforim, which was lying around actually in this place on Edrush, so I picked it up, I saw they were advertising something called a Nuknaki. What was a Nuknaki? I don't know if anyone's heard of it, but it's called Nuknaki because it's clean of internet, it was designed in Eretz Yisrael for people who want to be able to have a computer in their house, but they don't want to have anything which has got internet, it's got not even email, or possibility for kids to watch movies, anything like that. So Nuknaki. So I assumed perhaps a little, in my simplicity, that Nuknaki was just the name given to it because it's a sort of rhymes, Nuknaki. But it's not. It's Nuk is the name apparently of, like, you've got a Kindle, right? There's something called the Kindle. So there's Nuk, it's just a different make. It's basically, so they've taken this machine, there's this machine here, they've taken it and they've made it into a kosher thing where it's got all sorts of svarim on it. That was the idea. So I was about to order it and then I just suddenly sort of saw something which triggered this conversation some years back. Somebody had sort of put forward the question, is there a problem of Mechikas Hashem? And then it all came flooding back. I thought, oi, Taka, it's a good shayla. Is there a problem of Mechikas Hashem? Now let me explain to you why there's a real shayla here. You see, number one, first and foremost, when it comes to computer screens, this is something which has been in use, I don't know how many years computers have been, quite a number of years. And it's been accepted throughout the Doris. And as Rav Moshe Sternbuch puts it, you simply can't say that there's a problem on the Mechikas Hashem on computer screens, because otherwise all our Sidurim and our Chumashim, they've all been printed Be'isr, which is, you can't really say that. So we have to look for reasons to be martyred. When it comes to a new machine like this, that doesn't apply. So what's the Shaila? The Shaila is, well, how do these machines work? They're called e-readers, they use what's called electronic ink. How do they work? So basically, they've got, underneath the screen, there are millions of these, what they call microcapsules. Each one's like the roughly the diameter of a hair. And in each microcapsule, they've got a clear fluid, I think it's transparent oil, and suspended in this fluid are lots of microscopic black and white particles. The black particles are negatively charged, and the white particles are positively charged. Then there's a hole underneath these capsules, or perhaps on top, there's a whole network of electrodes. So whenever you want to bring up any page, what happens is, the computer tells it to, some electrodes will go positive, some will go negative, and what's going to happen is obviously, back to simple, you know, back to basics, lights repel, and opposites attract. So if in any given spot you've got an electrode which is, let's say, positive, it's going to attract to it all the negatively charged, all the black things will be pulled down towards it, and all the white particles will be repelled, pushed up towards the screen. Which means in that spot, if let's say the electrodes are underneath, the whites, and that tiny little pixel will be white. And you've got loads of these microcapsules under the screen. Some go positive, some go negative. I think within the microcapsules themselves, you can have half positive, half negative. And because you get this picture which is created based on the magnetic, the network of electrodes. And that will then stay like that, potentially, indefinitely. Which means it does not use, a lot of these machines do not use up any electricity. They can go into sleep mode, and the picture will stay there. For example, this is actually off right now. It's not using, should not be using any electricity whatsoever. And you've got a picture on there, which is their standard picture. That's made up of these microcapsules. That will stay there indefinitely. Now the problem is, if that's the case, you've got no renewal of the picture. There's no Maaser Shlili. You can't say when I press the off button or I go to another page, that I'm just stopping it renewing the picture. It's not. It's there to stay. And number two, It's not using light. On the contrary, the whole point of these machines is not to use light so it doesn't tire the eyes. There's actual particles there. They may be microscopic, but there are particles there. So in which case, the two main heterium we use for computers go out the window. And therefore the shayla becomes a real shayla now. Is there a problem of mechikas Hashem on these machines? It's very nice they've got thousands of sforim on it. But some of these sforim may be problematic to use if they've got the Shem Hashem on them.
Yeah, the screen doesn't go blank even when the battery is completely flat.
Battery will only go flat if you're using it. As it happens on this particular one, it does have like a more or less a screensaver. So you could just basically wait and then the screen will go blank on its own.
Eventually the battery will die.
When the battery is dead.
Eventually, after months. But at that point, that's not the same as a computer screen which is being renewed the whole time. Do you know what? If you got on a piece of cloth, the writing will also eventually fade. It also eventually will fade. It can crumble off. So where do you draw the line? The point is definitely it's got kiyum to it. It's definitely as it is now, but it's got kiyum. And so this particular machine, the way they've designed it is it does have, I don't know how long it takes to go into sleep mode, but it basically then does go back to its, not to that screen, but it goes back to something else. So to rule out, to say it's grommet.
So what happens to the Hashem when it goes to sleep mode?
Well, it depends. If you were to then turn off the machine at that point, you may be able to circumvent it by that point, clearing the screen, if you see what I mean. So you're clearing the screen. It's disappeared, obviously. When I press the button to go back into the machine, it's going to now bring back the shape, and you're back to square one. But at that point, the machine itself has turned off, it has rubbed out the Shema Avaya. That's not me. I didn't do anything to rub out the Shema Avaya.
So now the screen's turned into sleep mode.
Yeah, so if you let it go into sleep mode on its own, you're right. But you want to do that every time you want to turn a page, you're going to have to let it go into sleep mode. And then you have to make sure not to go back to the original page, otherwise you've got to wait again. So to rule out the possibility of Groma, it doesn't seem, because Groma would be a heter. Groma does not seem to be a heter here, because you've got a Gemara in Sanhedrin which talks about a person who takes a bung out of a dam, and then the water comes flooding out and kills somebody. It's called Maiser Rishon. Yeah, it's Koyichai, and he's Chai for that. Here as well, when you press the button, it reorganizes the electrode network. It's very difficult to say that's Groma. So that doesn't really work. Let's just start briefly, with the time we've got, I'm going to offer some possible heterium. The first one is like this. There's an Orchas Chaim, where the Orchas Chaim is brought in, the Beis Yosef, says, if you've got what's called Maiser Akima, embroidery, or something which is woven into material, and that creates the Shema Avaya, the Orchas Chaim holds that's not Ksav, and there's no Issa Mechikas Hashem on that. This is what the Orchas Chaim writes. However, supposedly, or very possibly, there are those many who are chodik with this. The Oroch is brought in Eben or Ezer, when it comes to Gittin, a get which is written with embroidery, whether it's a kosher get, and the Oroch and many others say, no, it's not, the Rabbi Yerucham follows that, it's not a kosher get, because that's not considered kasal. So, there's a very, very big piece from somebody called Rabbi Yisrael Dovid Taub, I think is the Mojitzer Rebbe, I think. But we couldn't be yet. Yeah. I think that's the one from Brooklyn, who wrote a very, very long teshuva on this Nuknaki, which I managed to get all of them. Baruch Hashem, most of what I'm going to say today, I did find he goes along the same sort of lines, but he's got a much bigger arichus there. And he wanted to suggest that since you've got this machlokes, we can say that embroidery, we go like the opinions, which seem to be a majority, which hold that it's not a kasav. In other words, and if it's not a kasav, then there's no problem on Mechikas Hashem. So the very fact that the Shulchan Aruch does not bring this halacha down, the Orchas Chaim, when it comes to the Shulchan Aruch, you can assume that it's not a ksav. So kol shekein with this is not, this is even less than embroidery, it's not woven into the screen at all, it's not on paper, it's not on, that's definitely not a ksav. The problem is, with this heter, is that number one, it's very interesting that when it comes to Hilchus, this is in Yerodea, Reish Ayin Vov, where it talks about Hilchus Kedushas Hashem, it doesn't bring any dissenting opinions in the Beis Yosef. In other words, maybe there's a chiluk between get and Mechikas Hashem. In other words, when it comes to Mechikas Hashem, there are those who want to prove already that it's got nothing to do with whether it's got a din kasav or not. It's not like a get, where it states in the Torah, b'chosav lo sefer kriis, you've got to have a kasav. It's not absolutely clear that you need a din kasav, a halachic din kasav, when it comes to Mechikas Hashem. But perhaps more importantly is the Keses HaSofer that's from Shlomo Ganzfried, which is one of the main sforim when it comes to Hilchus Stam. He's already paskin that we do go with the Orchus Chai. Even embroidery is a problem, so that heta, to me, it seems a little weak. But we could suggest that this is even better than embroidery. Let me explain to you just very briefly. The Gemara in Shabbos, Abaye says, on the tefillin we know you've got the shin shakai. You've got you've got the shin on the shel rosh, on the bias itself, and then through the various knots you've got the dalet and the yud. And Abaye says, all of these are halachon amesh mesina. Tosfos says, you can't say that all halachon amesh mesina. Why? Because he brings the Gemara in Bava Malik in Daf Ches, where it's discussing, Rabbi Yosef taught there, he makes a statement there, something which is Melech HaShomayim has to come from a Behemot Torah. And the Gemara's got a long give and take trying to work out what he's talking about. And the Gemara suggests, it's talking about tefillin, but more specifically it's the Ritzuas. So the Gemara should have challenged it, says Tosfos, if you're telling me that the Yud and the Dalud of the Shem Shakai, those on the Ritzuas, are halachon amesh mesinai, the Gemara should have challenged it, says Tosfos, why do you need Rav Yosef to teach me this? If they're halachon amesh mesinai, you've got to have the Yud and the Dalud there, well then obviously it has to be from a behemoth Torah, because we know we've got a klal, anything in the tefillin, Torah Sashem v'ficha, it's got to be something which potentially you can't eat, it's got to come from a kosher animal. So I wouldn't need Rav Yosef to teach me this special din. So it says, Tosfos, rather scrub that thing about the Yud and the Dalud, that's not halachon amesh mesinai. Comes along the Ran, and the Ran defends our Girsa. And this is his klal. He says, of course it's halachon amesh mesinai. But since it's only a knot, he says, that's not got a din teras Hashem. It's not got a din kesav. If it doesn't have a din kesav, then it's not included in teras Hashem v'ficha. The shin has got a din kesav. Now, why it's got a din kesav? Says the Ran, because it's written on a background. It's a shin which is sort of formed on a background, the of the button. Masha Enkin with the knot is the letter itself. The knot itself is forming the letter, just in midair. That doesn't have a din kesiv. To back this up, let me just bring it out a little bit more, perhaps from a different angle. There's a Gemara in Erevin which says, if a person makes the knots of the tefillin on Shabbos, he's chayav because of kosher. So the Rosh Hashanah asks, why just kosher? Why not kesiv? You've got two letters there. You've got the Dalet and the Yud. So you've got two letters there. Why not chayav because of kesiv? Says the Rosh Hashanah, the same yesod. Because that's not a din kesav. Kesav means that you write a letter on a background. It's connected to a background. The shin of the tefillin is sort of attached to a background. The tefillin itself.
The problem is on the lichas, because who considered kesav and there was no background because they were mizeh mizeh?
They speak about it with the lichas.
They had a middle.
That is spoken about.
Had a middle, didn't it?
Well, that's the Gemara Megillah speaks about. That is spoken about, the lichas. But the Rosh Hashanah wants to say, therefore, it does not have the same yesod as the Ram Be'etzem, the Ram's ready. It doesn't have a din kesav. Just the Rosh Hashanah takes it one stage further, and he says that he understands, it's debatable, but that's the way he understands the Rambam. He understands when the Rambam says, if you've got a kli with the Shem Hashem etched into it, engraved into it, you've got a problem of Mechikas Hashem. He understands what the Rambam means to say is, even though he uses the Loshon Afilu, he means dafka when it's engraved as opposed to if it's sort of painted on top, where he says that's not really considered a background. I don't fully understand the Rosh Hashanah's line of reasoning there. But he says, even when it comes to Mechikas Hashem, if it's a letter which is sort of suspended in midair, it's not, doesn't have a background to it, then there's no problem on Mechikas Hashem. Now if that's the case, you could suggest, here's exactly the same. These microcapsules, there's absolutely no adhesion between one microcapsule and the next. Besides the fact there's no adhesion between it and the screen on top. It's not like ink. There's no adhesion between particles. So therefore, essentially, it's just a magnetic field, it's just a magnet, which is sort of drawing something towards it. I'll give you a motion. Imagine if you've got, it's a theoretical motion, right? Hypothetical. Imagine you could take balloons, and using sort of air, machines which blow out air, you're able to position them all sort of floating in the air in the shape of the Shem HaVayah. If I was to come along and take one of the balloons away, which destroys one of the letters, you're going to say, I'm chai because of Mechikas Hashem. It's very, very similar to what Rav Shlomo Zalman was saying beforehand. It's difficult, like with light, it's very difficult to say that's Mechikas Hashem. Now, that is one possible heta. I don't know if it's the strongest heta, but it's the heta which I think most poskim who dealt with the Shaila, sort of, perhaps not from this angle, but they basically want to say it still doesn't have a shame kesav on it. This is what Rabbi Shabbai says. They say it still does not have a din kesav. What I think is perhaps a stronger heta is that this. There's a Gemara, there's a Mordechai, in fact, in Shabbos and Klal Gadol. He brings a Shaila the Maharami Rotenberg was asked. Classic Shaila, I'm sure we've all heard of. If you've got a cake, and on the cake it's got writing. So can you eat it? Can you give it? Actually, the Shaila was for a child. Can you give it to a child on Shabbos? And he said yes. Why? Because it's Motik Shalom and Oslifta. You're not going to write. And the Malacha Doraisa Motik is rubbing out in order to be able to write. So it's only Issa Darabonon. Therefore, there's no Issa as long as you're not. You know, in other words, you don't have to object, you can give it to let the child eat it. From which it sounds like there's an Isidra Bonan, and therefore an adult will not be able to eat it. And that's exactly how the Ramal Paskins, it's an inference from the Marami Rottenberg, that an adult would be forbidden to eat such a cake. Now, without going into all the halachos, whether it's sort of kasav on top of the cake, or it's from sort of the tzura of the cake itself, that's all spoken about. But the Levush then takes it a stage further. And he says, well, if that's the case, let's move from that shayla to another shayla. What happens if you've got a sefer? And on the sefer, down the spine, where you open it, in other words, I mean the spine, I don't know what you call it, where you open it, it's got writing there. As Morgan Abram says, like Bafka writing, could be a picture as well. So therefore, can I open that on Shabbos? Can I open it and close it on Shabbos? So the Bush says, no. He says, same thing. Yeah, it's moichik, same thing. When you open it, it's moichik. And he says, as far as he's concerned, he thinks it's even korev lechi of chafetz. Because it's moichik, I'm an oslifter, you're going to close it again. So the Taz says, no, he disagrees. Number one, he says, that's not your kavanah b'chatos. So say you're chai b'chatos, therefore you can't be chai b'chatos for that. The Chavis Yoye also says, he can't say you can say you're chai b'chatos. He says, moichik I'm an oslifter means, what's the taklis of the melacha in the Mishkan? It was the ksiva. Here, the taklis is the moichik. You want to open the sefer. It's not the closing of the sefer. Some people, maybe it is, but for most people, it's the opening of the sefer. They want to learn something. So therefore, it's the opening is the taklis. He says, to say a chayav b'chatos, that's very, very difficult. But the Maaseh, they then take it further, and they say, the Taz says, he can't see how you can call this kosev anyway, kosev or moichik. He says, he doesn't think it's kosev or moichik, because he says, all you're effectively doing is, he based it on the Gemara, but we don't have time for it, if you take two letters, two written letters, and you put them together, you're going to say a chayav is a kosev. Or if you take them apart from one another, your chayav is a moichik. He says, he proves the Gemara, that's not a chiyuv of kosev or moichik. He says, as far as he can, he can't see any chiluk, whether it's two letters or two parts of a letter, he can't see any chiluk between the two.
Shabbos, when you tear something with the writing on it.
It's a separate shayla, but because we're short on time, it's. So but the Chavis Yoye, in fact the Ramah in Teshuvas, if anyone who wants to look it up, it's Kuf Yud Tes, Teshuvas or Ramah. He says another reason why it's not a problem of kosev or moichik. This is the important point here. He says, you know why? Because he says it's omei b'kach. He says the whole point of omei of kosev kesav is where you're writing something, which is there to remain there, and moichik is when you don't rub it out. It wasn't there to be rubbed out. Well, when you've got something which from the very start, he says, let's say you open a door on Shabbos, so you're going to say that seiser, and when you close the door, that's boner. No, because that's the whole purpose of the door. It's to be opened and closed. That's not bone or sefer. So he says, so if you've got a sefer, where it's only the kaf, the whole point, he says, you can't call that a chibur between the letters. That's not kesef, that's not moichik. And the Chavis Yoye was machavin to the same svara. He says, he knows the Ramah was matirit, but he doesn't have the sefer, and he writes exactly the same svara. But the Chavis Yoye uses it in a shayla he had. But that's what's nogea to us. He had a shayla, something had a tabas, had a ring. And this ring was made up of four parts. And on each part it had one of the letters of the Shema Abai on it. And the Shaila was, are you in it? The whole point of it is you're supposed to be able to take the ring apart. Are you allowed to take that ring apart? And says the Chavis Yoye, yes, because there's no connection between one letter and the next. It's what he calls Lepirat Chaimo. From the very start, it's there to be taken apart. That's not called a chibur between the Yud and the next Hey. There's no chibur. And therefore he says, Ledato is absolutely mutter. Absolutely mutter. So in which case, here as well, as we said, between one microcapsule and the next, there's absolutely no chibur whatsoever. And it's omei l'kaf. The point of the machine is you're supposed to be able to read svarim from one page to the next. It's not there that you just open one page and leave it there indefinitely. It's to read. That's the whole point of it. So if it's omei l'kaf, it's l'pirat kaimon, Therefore, that seems like a very, very good, very good heter. There's a very interesting shaila of Osher Weitzman speaks about. There was a Maisa Shahoya in Yerushalayim in Yeshiva, a bocha, sort of what they call in English, flipped it, right? And one night he came down, and he had a bright idea, or not such a bright idea, he took a hold of the sforim, and he wrote the Shema Avaya on the side of all these sforim. The idea being, people wouldn't be able to use these sforim. They came down in the morning, what do you do with this? They went to one Rav says, all of it goes in Knesset, you can't do anything about it. Another Rav had a great idea, what you do is, you glue the, close that side of the sefer, or tape it, and then you can cut it all off. So Rav Osher Weitzman said, number one, it's unlikely this, every sefer is going to work, you're bound to, one sefer is not going to work, and you're going to come unstuck, and you're going to have problems on the Mechikas Hashem. But he says, number two, think about it practically. Well, every time this bocha flips, he's going to do the same. I mean, as somebody put it, the sforim are going to be getting narrower and narrower, right? And if this becomes public knowledge, that every bocha who has a tainah on arm hold, they'll do the same. I mean, it's ridiculous. We can't have such a situation. So he says that we've got to be matir. Now, why are we matir? I would have said poshut why we're matir because of what we just said. That's not crazy. If it's not matir, you've got this chavis yoyeh. And the Mishnah Brura, although he says, we've got the two days there, the Mishnah Brura says, the ikka alofa, the minan ka'olam, is like the chavis yoyeh. All those who go with the Chavisoy, the Ramah, who say that with the Shaila, with the Sefer, although if you've got another Sefer, you can get another Sid or whatever it is, then obviously better to do so. And obviously don't write on the spot on that side to start with. Obviously, can they not say Sid Eikar Adeus? But Abadah, if you've got such a Sefer, he says the Ikar Alok and the Minaka Inam is like the Chavisoy, the Ramah, and all those who go with that school of thought. And therefore, that to me would be the Ikar Adeus. He's got a very interesting twist. He wants to say that an additional heter could be that he wants to be medayik from the Rambam in a couple of places, and the Loshon of the Torah is v'ibadatem Hashemam. It doesn't say u'mochaktem. The issa is not mechika. The issa is to be ma'abe, to destroy it. But here you're not destroying it, because you can open the safe and you put it back together. So you've never destroyed it. So his Talmidim wants to use the same thing with this nuknaki and say the same thing. You can bring the page back up again, it's the same thing. To be honest with you, if you look at the Rambam, I'm not absolutely convinced about it, and perhaps the biggest sort of question on it is if that was really the case, then why didn't the Chavis Yoyeh use that heter? It's a pretty simple heter. The fact that Chavis Yoyeh didn't bring that sounds like it's not so poshut at all. And just finally, I think I've run out of time, but just finally, the last very important point, and that is, there's a big discussion about if a person writes the Shem Hashem without any kavanah whatsoever, is there an issur of mechikas Hashem on it? And there's different deis. The Yireim seems to be mati. He says stoma does not give any kedusha. There are those who say there is kedusha at least midrabbanan. There are possibly the Kri Chodesh entertains the possibility of even midoraisa. Lemaisa, from all the discussion, we don't have time to go into it. But it seems that the discussion is only when you do it star. That if I write it with what we call ikavana, I do it with the kavana specifically that should not have kedusha Hashem. Then there's no shaila whatsoever of having any kedusha, and this is brought. There's a pishchif shuvo brings this. At least the tzorek you can be mochik it. The Rabbi Yitzchok Elchanan Spector says he says the pri chodosh's idea of deraisa is definitely a shittas yochid, and therefore you can ignore that. Therefore, the rabbanon already would be a gezerah. The gezerah to say when it's done without kavanah, it shouldn't have kedusha, and therefore he says that the chol adeus should be mutter. You could perhaps add to that, the Rav Moshe says, the whole shaila of needing kavana, of not needing kavana, would only be with the Shem Havaya. Because there, if you write Yud Kei Vov Kei, what else can it mean? But if you take, let's say, the name, I don't know, Shakai, you don't write it with vowels, it could be read as Shedai, or Tzavokai, so I could read it as Tzivos. So there he says, it's miskavah to assume you definitely need kavana. So Bekitza, the Eitza is, and this is what Rav Shmuel Vosna said with the, in the Mechon Stam, where they check Sifrei Torah and say, mezuzahs and all these things with the computer, obviously it all comes up on the screen. He said, make a Tanai to start with, that anything which comes up on the screen, it should have no Kedusha whatsoever, and he says you could definitely rely on that, and therefore, in conclusion, as I said, I'm not saying it b'derech pesach, but it would definitely, there are those who have already passed with it who are far greater than me, as I said, Rav Osher Weitzman, Rav Shlomo Miller from Canada, right, Rav Shlomo Miller, big gone there, who he said in Sidurim and Chumashim he would be a little, it's Roy Lahachmir. I don't fully understand his svara there, but he says there it's Roy Lahachmir. But Rav Osher Weitzman is quite happy. Rav Zuldan, he's a Meretzedek on of Vishnit in Haifa, In Haifa, he was a matzeh completely, no shayla whatsoever. And the kids, all this said and done, if you make this tonight, personally I would have said it shouldn't be a problem.
Very good.